This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Shilpa's like, what are you doing with the headphones?
I just had to fix my hair-ish. Yes.
This is radio, babe.
It's okay. I gotta look good for me.
Hey there, listeners, future callers, and cooking enthusiasts. Welcome to Dinner SOS, the show where we help you save dinner or whatever you're cooking. I'm Chris Morocco, food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious. Today's caller is Catherine. Catherine is a mom of four, and she's looking to create a delicious tradition around Christmas morning.
When I was growing up, for breakfast on Christmas morning, we always did cereal. So nothing fancy. We just kind of like wandered into the kitchen and eat cereal. And my parents did kind of make it special. Like, we all got to choose our own box of cereal.
Wait, you would choose your own box like in advance? Like, yeah. You'd make a special trip?
Yes. We always just choose like the cereals that you never buy otherwise. Yeah. That like come with a prize, or they're like shaped like cookies or whatever. Like those kind of cereals.
It's basically every child wants these types of cereal, and yeah, every parent doesn't want their kids to eat these types of cereal.
For sure.
Catherine's husband, however, grew up with the tradition of a breakfast casserole on Christmas morning, which also allowed the family to sit down and eat breakfast together.
And I kind of felt like that sounded magical. Because it's been kind of crazy about opening presents, but then you all get to like sit down and eat together. And so I was like, let's do that, because you can make it the night before and then you just heat it up on Christmas morning and then eat it.
Yeah.
So I talked to my mother-in-law, I got her recipe, and we tried it, and it was not bad. I mean, it was very simple. It's just like sausage, cheese, eggs, potatoes. Like, that's basically it. Mm-hmm. But I also was like, I was kind of thinking, you know, because I'm coming from like, you get to pick your own box of cereal. Like, I want something a little more special.
Yeah.
And so the next year, I tried a casserole that had green onions and feta, and it had some like sourdough bread in it. Mm. And it was okay. We didn't love it though. And I was kind of like, well, I don't want to make something every year that we don't love. So what I would love is to find kind of like a really great make ahead breakfast that basically is cooler and more exciting than choosing your own box of cereal.
Which we will now fully admit actually is quite exciting.
Totally. And I actually love that tradition. I'm thinking we could tie it with another holiday.
You can do it all. You can do both. Because I think the play, you know, on like that kind of holiday morning is like, at least my own family, everybody, and my wife is just as complicit as the kids. Honestly, in some ways, she's worse than them. Everybody wants to wake up at like 6:30 and start like getting into this whole orchestrated, organized present opening thing. And I'm always like, everyone, just back off until I've had coffee and a piece of toast. Seriously, like, I don't want to even acknowledge that it's Christmas until I've had coffee, you know? And then later in the morning, kind of do that like bigger breakfast kind of moment as a family and make it special.
Yeah, for sure. And I think because, as you know, we have little kids now, and it's like they do really just want to open presents. But then once, you know, everything is kind of settled down, then I love that idea of like, now we all sit down together and it's just like a fun, like, together time.
Yeah. So talk to me about, you know, what you eat every other day of the year. Like, what are the flavors that excite you? How far are you willing to sort of drive the flavor bus? If, I don't know, that was like the expression that came to mind. Do you just want like a better version of your kind of like classic bread or potato based casserole? Are you looking to like blow things up?
I would kind of say maybe in the middle, where it still feels exciting, like Christmas morning, something to look forward to. We get this really delicious breakfast, but also like it's still comforting.
Got it. What do you like to eat? Like, if you're going out for food, what type of food do you crave?
We really like pasta. My kids' favorite pasta is caprese pasta with tomatoes and fresh mozzarella and basil.
Really?
We like Mexican food. We eat a lot of rice kind of dishes. There's like a takeout Korean barbecue place that we like to go to.
Okay, cool. Just helps me to know, just from the standpoint of like how far to nudge this outside of, you know, the kind of like slightly more straightforward approaches you've had.
If you have a better idea of a make ahead breakfast, I am not just sold on casserole. If you have another idea of like what we can make the night before and just enjoy on Christmas morning, I'm totally open to that too. But the one thing is, I do want it to be savory because we love cookies, candy, all the Christmas treats. So I think if we're going to sit down and eat breakfast, I don't want it to be like super sweet.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Honestly, this does feel exciting to me. Like, this feels very real. I think sometimes, you know, folks are looking for a make-ahead breakfast option around the holidays because they have, you know, people who might be staying with them. And you just kind of need food. You don't want to, like, suddenly turn your kitchen into, like, a short-order diner. You just kind of need to put something up that hopefully most people will find something to enjoy, right?
Yeah.
Great. Anything else at all you can think of?
I think that's basically it. I mean, I think my dream is like, you wake up on Christmas morning and I just throw something in the oven and it's like beautiful, festive, and we all get to sit down and enjoy it. And it's like no stress. And I mean, I do love traditions. And so if it's super good, I'm fine just making it every year.
Totally.
From here on out.
They call that tradition. When Shilpa Eskokovich and I got on the phone to brainstorm solutions for Catherine, I kept getting stuck on an issue I've long had with breakfast recipes.
Honestly, I feel like every time a brunch story comes around, the conversation quickly becomes like, how do we do a strata without doing strata? I thought of Crunchwrap for a crowd. I think it could be fun. I don't know if it's like make-aheadable the same way.
Yeah, it's certainly not make-aheadable, but it's very fun. It hits all the other points. So
for kids, though, Christmas morning, are you making Crunchwrap for a crowd for like the first time? The answer to that question was no. Yes.
The answer to the question is yes, it could work. So we can pin that and then we can move on to finding other solutions. I'll have a plan B regardless, but we'll try and convince Catherine that she needs to make.
Okay, because I'm going to come in with something that's like real accessible. I'm like coming in with like the bark lounger of breakfast casseroles.
Like
a Barca lounger, you know, like one of those like lounge chairs where you like you flip the lever and like the legs pop up and you like.
Like a lazy boy.
Whatever. Sure. I'm going to hit her with like a lazy boy recipe. Like set it up the night before, bake it that morning. Everything's chill.
And it's not a strata.
It's going to be a strata.
Kristen.
You kidding?
I thought you started the whole conversation with saying everything about brunch is usually strata and we're trying to do something that's not a strata.
I know we're trying to, but it's the circle of life. You try to do something that's not a strata, you do a strata. Try to do something that's not a strata, you do a strata. And like on and on it goes. You're trying to break the strata cycle. Let's all try. But I'm just saying, like, prepare for it not to happen.
This has been a great conversation. You know why? Because next time I come up with a pitch and I'm like, this is what I want to do. And you're like, no, this is not what you should do. I'm going to be like, this is the cycle of life. You start off trying to not make this and then you end up making exactly this. So thanks for giving me the manuscript to my next pitch.
I guess I should have known that could come back to bite me. After the break, we see what Catherine thinks about Shilpa's incredible, but labor-intensive, Crunchwrap. Or if she'd rather kick up her feet and relax.
Hi.
Hi, friends. I'm Cameron Rogers, host of Freckled Foodie and Friends podcast, which is now on Dear Media. Are you wondering what just happened to your life after having a baby or struggling with your mental health during postpartum? That was me just a few months ago. Are you working on healing your relationship with yourself, your body, and or food? Same. We are all on a journey to self-love and acceptance, and I'm right there with you. That's what Freckled Foodie and Friends is all about, reminding you that no matter what, you are not alone. Make sure to tune in for season 5 launching with Dear Media on November 9th and subscribe to listen to new episodes every Wednesday morning.
Catherine, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, we're so glad to have you. And Shilpa and I talked a lot about breakfast casseroles. And okay, real talk, Catherine. Like, this is us taking you behind the curtain to see, like, the little old man and the little old lady pulling the gears. And
I don't think anybody is ready for a behind-the-scenes version of either of us.
I know. Catherine, this is, like, in front of the scenes. Yeah. So there's this kind of, like, thing in food media, like, with recipe development around breakfast casseroles that, like, the strata kind of became, like, a little bit passé. It was kind of like, oh, God, not another strata, you know? And yet it's this, like, solution to a real problem, which is that we make such a huge deal of, like, Thanksgiving dinner, you know, Hanukkah dinner. But, like, a lot of these things, like, it's not just one meal. Shilpa, how long did your parents come to town for?
Months.
They were in your apartment for months, and it wasn't even a holiday.
No.
They were just there.
Yeah.
So it's like you are entertaining people in all kinds of different scenarios.
Yeah.
Right? And we just did this brunch story. It was like a brunch feature that Shilpa did. It was beautiful in the September issue. And I feel like, I don't know, we took some big swings, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it was a very eclectic menu.
It was an eclectic menu.
That's what it was.
Which featured a large format, non-strata, egg-based dish.
Oh, excited.
And it really captivated people,
People responded well.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about what that was?
Yeah. We ended up calling it Crunchwrap for a Crowd, and it was based on Taco Bell's Crunchwrap Supreme, which Catherine, have you had one before?
Like a Crunchwrap? Oh, for sure.
You have?
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't know they did breakfast version until I did research for the story. Have you had the regular kind or the breakfast kind? Or both?
Just the regular kind, yeah.
Oh, got it. So anyway, my Crunchwrap for a Crowd was based around Taco Bell's Crunchwrap Supreme. And Inez, our kitchen coordinator, test kitchen coordinator, actually got Crunchwraps for recipe research purposes.
Just for research.
Just for research.
That was my first one.
Yeah, me too. I'd never had that before.
I was like, what is this?
Yeah, honestly, it was bad.
It was not great.
Yeah.
In all honesty.
I mean, conceptually, it was great.
Conceptually, it's so strong. I think it's just like, it's the actual physical execution.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the quality of the ingredients? Are there interesting flavors there?
Sure.
It just felt like, oh, everything about this, we would want to change.
Yeah.
But what an idea.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I took that and ran with it. And, you know, we were talking about, oh, how do you make this, but not have to make one Crunchwrap for each person on your little, like, nonstick skillet. So I was like, oh, why don't you just, you know, size it up, make it big, and just put it all in one skillet. And that's what I ended up doing. Laid out tortillas in a cast iron, like a heavily buttered cast iron skillet, and then you pile it with, like, scrambled eggs, cooked chorizo. It had avocados, it had refried beans from a can, American cheese, and it also had crushed tortilla chips in there. And then you fold up, you know, the overhang of the tortillas, you weigh it down, and you pop it in the oven.
Well, and Catherine, you know, I said to Shilpa, do you really think Catherine, who's looking for Hallmark moment, holiday morning, four kids, is looking for something that requires this much thought and assembly?
And
you said, absolutely she is.
Okay, here's the thing. My Hallmark moment for Catherine. Catherine, I'm making up your life for you. Stay with me.
Four kids.
The Hallmark story is this. The four kids are at a table eating cereal. They're eating the cereal. Okay. Meanwhile, Catherine is making Crunchwrap. And then she presents this thing. And then the kids are like, oh, mom, you're so great. That's the win. Like, they're eating cereal. Like, the kids are fine. They don't know.
Just- probably is best to not plan around what they will or will not eat on any specific morning. But they totally do like tacos. There's a good chance they would go for it. And it does sound, because you have like the whole pan and everything rolled up. I mean, it does sound pretty spectacular looking.
It's a sensational looking dish. It's definitely a crowd pleaser. And, you know, it's impressive looking. And here's the thing. There is a certain amount of commitment that goes into it. And I was like, oh, what if I was in this situation? And if it was me, perhaps what I would do is just have all the components ready the day before, as much of it as I can. I would like chop the cilantro, cook off the chorizo, keep it to the side. The rest is mostly just assembly. Once you have the chorizo cooked off, all you have to do on the day off then is scramble your eggs. And then after that, everything becomes assembly. So I would say it's still possible, but I certainly hear you if you feel like, oh my God, this is one thing too many. And I have a solution for that, but we'll come to that later.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that now? Because I'm ready to give Catherine her out. I'm ready to give her the lob.
No, Catherine's doing
you
this.
Just, she's no, doing you just wound up and you just like, you zipped in a four-seam fastball.
I don't play any kind of sports
four-seamer.
At all. I literally don't know what you're talking
about. I just listen to my kids say these words and I
like,
just...
Which sport is it?
I think it's baseball.
Oh, okay. That's too American for me.
But like, so I have a lob. Okay, Catherine, I'm giving you an out. Because listen, I think the Crunchwrap is captivating. I think it's what my preamble was all in service to kind of contextualizing that I think it's hard to ask people to do too much before dinner time when it comes to entertaining. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like brunch, I think as we found with your story, Shilpa, it's a very particular type of entertaining to have people over in daytime. And I think in a lot of cases and a lot of those situations, a lot of us, like, we're getting bagels. You know what I mean? We're like making a big platter of scrambled eggs and some smoked salmon and throwing toast and coffee at people. And like, that is plenty good enough for my family, you know? So this is your out, Catherine. Cowboy breakfast casserole with sausage and spinach. This is an Epicurious recipe developed by Joe Sevier. This is toasted white bread laid out in a casserole dish. You are topping it with cooked off breakfast sausage. You are throwing in some spinach, which is fine to use frozen. Just basically, you're just cooking it out with a little bit of scallion.
Uh-huh.
Then you are layering that in with eggs combined with milk, a little bit of Greek yogurt, a little bit of mustard, cheddar cheese. All right, you're dumping that over the sausage and bread. And here's the kicker. You can do all that the day before.
Oh, that is nice.
You are putting that into a cold oven the morning on which you plan to serve it. You are turning on that oven and you are waiting exactly 40 minutes until it is done. You are removing it and that is it.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. I just wanted to say this.
Okay, all right.
Here's the deal, Christopher.
Yeah.
I feel like you told me that I have to come in to the show.
I did. I was like, we got to talk about the Crunchwrap.
You're like, speak about the Crunchwrap Supreme. Meanwhile, right after I let you speak about it, I'm going to go behind and say that is a terrible idea.
No,
it's
not.
Here's what you should make instead.
It's not.
So, you know what,
it's a great idea.
I'm happy to be here.
No, it's a great idea. Like, Catherine, I want with every fiber of my being for you to make the Crunchwrap because I want to talk about it. But I also want her to feel like that's not the only play here.
Of course, yes.
But I really am torn because I want like a beautiful, special breakfast.
Mm.
But I also really like the idea of being able to do everything ahead of time. So I'm like really torn.
Well, listen, at some point, like make both of them. Ultimately, you do have to make a choice. Now, Shilpa, was there another one? Because it seemed like you had a little ace up your sleeve.
Yeah, I did have another idea.
Okay.
It was
so why don't you talk about your other idea?
It's not
wild card.
The wild card. It's not a specific recipe, but it's an idea.
Wait, what? Do you even know how the show works?
Christopher.
We traffic in absolutes.
Catherine got it. She can figure it out.
If it ain't in the app, we don't give a crap. Come on.
Did you just make that up?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. You're getting a bonus this year.
I'm not.
Okay. The idea was something in between, not quite a casserole, but something that's large format and there's not much assembly going into it. And the idea was sort of based on, do you remember Jessie made the sheet pan berry shortcake over the summer.
The slab shortcake.
The slab shortcake.
Oh,
yeah, which
was good.
Basically just a giant berry shortcake that he makes it on a sheet pan. And then, you know, bakes it off, comes out, tops it with whipped cream and berries. So I was like, oh, why can't you take that concept? Make like sheet pan
slab
biscuits. Yeah. And
yes.
then put like a sausage gravy on top.
Sausage gravy, even like some eggs, just like layered up all in there.
There we go. Like fry some eggs. You can make the gravy ahead. You can always reheat it. Make the biscuit dough ahead day before. Put it on your sheet pan. Put it in the fridge. And then just bake it the day of. Reheat your sausage gravy. Pour it on top. If you're really feeling generous, fry some eggs. Throw it all on there. Serve it to everyone.
That
does
so
sound
good.
Awesome. Do you have like a good biscuit recipe?
Inez made really good sausage and biscuit.
Yes, the sausage and biscuit recipe.
That was really good. Let me check if it's on Epicurious, actually.
Like, would you cut out the biscuits or would you just like fill the sheet pan?
So I think what I would do is cut them out, but not stamp, not with a circle cutter. Like, just use a knife to cut them into
never,
square.
Never do circular biscuits.
Yeah, it's a waste.
It's just a waste. You don't need those scraps in your life.
You're right, you don't.
Yeah. Okay.
So cut them into squares or whatever shape you can manage with a knife. Sometimes it's rectangular. And then just put them back on the sheet tray pretty close to each other. Maybe like just a quarter inch gap. So that gives them enough, you know, space for the heat to penetrate all around, but they still kind of grow together. And that way there's also like a natural partition when it comes time to serve. It's easy to portion.
It's more like a pull-apart biscuit.
Pull-apart biscuit.
Love that. So that you can get like a little bit of, you know, crispiness around the top edges, but they're conjoined nonetheless.
Yeah. As they bake, they'll kind of spread and stick together, but not fully. As for the biscuit recipe, Inez, again, our Test Kitchen coordinator, her biscuits with sausage gravy recipe should be just blew me out of the water. So those are the two recipes I would recommend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, that sounds awesome, too. I'm so undecided.
Yeah, think about it. Listen, this is a choose-your-own-adventure format. And honestly, whatever you do, you know, hats off to you. Like, little kids trying to do something special, really create, like, that really wonderful kind of like special aura, that peaceful, food-filled, wonderful atmosphere. Whatever you do, it's going to be great. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right. Pleasure.
Thank you.
We're going to take another short break. When we come back, does Catherine have a new Christmas morning tradition? Or do we need to go back to the casserole drawing board?
About your mama's kitchen.
This teeny tiny little room was where we did everything. We grew up there. We became teenagers, adults in that small space.
I'm Michelle Norris. The kitchen is usually the heartbeat of our homes. It's the place where we're nourished physically and spiritually. It's where the people we love most chased away life's furies with skillets and spatulas.
I love you. I really care about you. Those words don't come naturally. But what you can do is hand someone a corned beef sandwich that's the size of your head. And that means the same thing.
Every week, I'm serving up a new episode of this Audible original podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. They're available anywhere you listen.
Hi, Catherine. So sorry for the delay. It's all Shilpa's fault.
It is my fault. Well, here I am.
Okay. Catherine, how's everything been?
Good.
Yeah? I heard you did the dry run. The thing happened.
Yep, I made it.
Now, I think we've got some tape from Michelle, and I want to do the reveal that way. Michelle, you want to roll it?
Okay, so it took me a very long time to decide which recipe to do because there are things I like about all of them. But what finally narrowed it down for me was I was talking to my sister and she reminded me that when I was pregnant with my kids, I had the biggest craving for Taco Bell, which is hilarious. And I kind of feel like it's part of our family lore now. And so I kind of feel like a you know, improved, totally upgraded, beautiful version of a Taco Bell dish would be such a perfect Christmas morning.
Wow. I knew the second you said craving, it's like, what? You had a craving for like a cowboy breakfast casserole? I don't think so. You had a craving for Taco Bell.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Shilpa, do you want to walk us through how the Crunchwrap for a Crowd gets assembled?
Yeah, sure. So after you've made all your components, you start by overlapping four big tortillas in the bottom of a cast iron skillet, letting the extra hang over the pan. The first layer is American cheese, and you have to use American cheese. And okay, so after that, you put your doctored up refried beans on top of that, followed by a layer of avocado. Then you put in your scrambled eggs, which you've scrambled with a little bit of whole milk and cornstarch, and the cornstarch keeps it like extra silky. Then you do the chorizo, more cheese, and finally the chips. Then you top it off with one final tortilla and then fold that overhang on top to seal everything in and stick it in the oven and prepare for an amazing breakfast.
I'm just dying to know, how did it go?
It went so well. I will say, it was much better than actual Taco Bell.
Okay.
It was delicious. It really turned out so well.
Real? Okay. I mean, I'm like a little bit of a tone of surprise creeping into my voice.
Wow, Christopher, what a word of confidence.
No, listen, there's something about, okay, dear listener, okay, you need an overlapping mm-hmm. sort of circle of large flour tortillas in the bottom of the skillet.
Remember, this is a podcast where we sell people on our recipes.
No, but I'm painting a picture. Sure, no. This, like, it makes, I'm just saying, sure. Like, four kids, are you kidding me? Like, if everybody got a quesadilla in my life, if I had four kids, like, I would consider myself doing great. Okay. So, Catherine, you took on a bigger project because, you know, there is a certain assembly involved in creating the Crunchwrap for a Crowd. There just is.
There is.
Yeah, there,
is
there definitely was. It was, yeah. I will say, it was not that make ahead of a dish.
No.
It did take a lot of assembly, but I don't know if this is crazy, but now that we had it and then we had the leftovers, I will say that the leftovers were pretty good.
They're not bad,
and
right?
I kind of feel like the only thing that got weird was the chips.
Yeah.
Like, the second day. So I kind of want to try assembling it ahead of time, minus the chips. I feel like you could. Even the eggs were good as a leftover.
Yeah, leaving the chips out, if you're doing it ahead, leaving the chips out is certainly the way to go.
Mm. Yeah, I think if I was going to make it again, I would try assembling everything but the chips the night before, because the assembly does take a minute because it's all of these layers. In the morning when all the kids are like, when are we eating breakfast?
But they still ate the breakfast, Christopher, and
oh
they still enjoyed it.
Why are you looking at me with that like smug sense of satisfaction?
Because you are glaring at me.
I gave her some side eye. It's true. No, but Catherine, honestly, the fact that you took that on, I'm so delighted because it is so good. Shilpa sent me home to Philadelphia a couple different times with big wedges of the Crunchwrap. And I have to tell you, same reaction the day after. Oh, the eggs are the least of your problems.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The eggs are good. They like last really well.
No problem. You know, everything is like such a delight. It's such a captivating centerpiece of a dish.
Yeah, it does look like fun.
Amazing. What did the kids think?
So I have one good eater, my four-year-old.
One out of four is not bad. If you're in the game, you know those are odds you would take any day.
Yeah, she is awesome. But like all my other kids are difficult. So anyway, she really liked it. The other kids like tried it, but it wasn't a hit yet.
Okay.
But we liked it enough that I'm willing to make it again until they like it, so.
Wow. Wow. Is there any way in which you could imagine amending or modifying it that might make it slightly more in line with their preferences?
So they are a little, like, sensitive to spiciness. So I really liked the, like, chorizo, that kind of kick. But if I was
trying to get them to eat it, we might go for a different kind of sausage or ground beef
just
or something.
Do, like, eggs and
breakfast sausage.
Breakfast sausage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheese.
Yeah. I think like a bacon, egg, and cheese. You can
like
do
bacon,
like
egg, and cheese.
The
yeah.
eggs just the same way and then do like crisp rashers of bacon and then lots of cheese and call it a day. Wrap it
oh,
up.
Oh, that does sound good.
So do you think there is a realistic possibility that you will make this again for Christmas morning?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially like where I assemble it the night before. I do like the idea, I mean, just of trying different flavors in the layers. Because my kids, I mean, individually, they like all that stuff. They like eggs, like they like sausage, they like chips. So, I mean, there's a chance they would eat it.
Okay. A chance. We'll take it. I mean, listen, there's always the cowboy breakfast casserole. You know, don't sleep on it. Just saying, entirely yeah, make ahead. Put it into a cold oven Christmas morning. Mm-hmm. Get the fire going. Kids are
it's
eating
okay, Chris.
Cereal.
She's making.
Let me paint a picture.
Sure.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, I'm just saying, it's there. It's on the website.
Yeah,
it's there for you.
I do love how it's so hands off. I do want to try that. And I also want to try the biscuits and gravy. So yeah, I think we'll definitely try both recipes.
Well, listen, thank you so much for doing this. I'm glad like Christmas could come a little bit early, perhaps this year. And yeah, if you make any substitutions or you do anything that actually gets 3 out of 4 kids to eat it, please let us know.
Well, yeah, I'll definitely let you know.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks,
Catherine.
All right, thanks.
If you have a dinner emergency on your hands, write to us at dinnersos@bonappetit.com or leave us a voice message at 212-286-SOS1. That's 212-286-7071. We'd love to feature your question on the show. You can find the recipes mentioned on today's episode, Crunchwrap for a Crowd, Cowboy Breakfast Casserole with Sausage and Spinach, and Biscuits and Gravy on the Epicurious app brought to you by Condé Nast. Just search Epicurious in the App Store and download today. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating and review on your podcast app of choice and hit that follow button so you never miss an episode. Thanks for listening to Dinner SOS. I'm your host, Chris Morocco. My co-host this week is Shilpa Zgokovic. Our producer is Michelle O'Brien. Jordan Bell is our executive producer. Peyton Hayes is our associate producer. Cameron Foose is our assistant producer. Jake Loomis is our studio engineer. Amar Lal mixed this episode. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll see you in 2024.
Okay, Christopher.
What do you mean?
Okay.
Why the tone?
No, I didn't think there was a tone. I was like, okay.
I don't need your validation. I'm just getting started.
Okay, continue on.
Okay. Hey, listeners, Chris Morocco here. If you find yourself in a dinner crisis, the Epicurious app comes to the rescue. Not only will you unlock over 50,000 recipes from Bon Appetit and Epicurious, but you'll also receive daily personalized recommendations based on your unique preferences and dietary needs. Head to the Apple App Store and download the Epicurious app to kickstart your 7-day free trial today. Don't miss out on this culinary adventure. Start your free trial and let the Epicurious app be your kitchen hero. Happy cooking.